You are no longer an orphan. You have a father. You are no longer empty. You are fulfilled. You are no longer guilty. You are forgiven.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I wonder if we might take a moment to look at the rest which the shepherd provides. As it's stated there in Psalm 23 and verse 2, he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, what do you see when you look at that expression? There are two things that stand out to me. One is the blessing. Do you see it? He maketh me to lie down. There's a second thing I see there. That's the bounty. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, in a verdant context, in an oasis. Christians are an oasis of contentment, an oasis of fulfillment, an oasis of satisfaction in blessing in the midst of a desert of disarray and discontent. And the reason for that is they have a personal union with the Son of God. And He absolutely revolutionizes the whole of their life. The Bible says the blessing is this: He maketh me to lie down. And as I look at that expression, there are two things that kind of stick in my mind. One, divine wisdom is in view. He maketh me. He knows that I need this. He's a wise God, a judicious God, and He maketh me to lie down. Divine wisdom is in view. Also, human weakness is in view. He maketh me to lie down. Why do I have to lie down? Because I'm weak? Because I have needs? There are really two basic elements here with respect to this issue of the rest that we so desperately need due to our human weakness, our exhaustion, and our anguish. The first thing I want you to see with me quickly is we learn something from Jesus Christ about the provision of rest. And the place we learn that is in the New Testament. And if you have your Bibles, you might turn there with me for just a moment. Matthew, the 11th chapter, very familiar passage. In Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, we read these words: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What do you see when you look at those verses? I see two things. I see first the rest which comes from faith. It's called salvation. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's the rest of salvation. And then I see, secondly, the rest which comes from fulfillment. It's called service, Christian service. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." There's a rest that is given, that's salvation, and there's a rest that is to be found through dedicated Christian service. Look with me at verse 28 of Matthew 11. I want to analyze it for just a moment because I think it's very critical. Apart from understanding this concept, I think it's impossible to experience the rest of which David speaks in Psalm 23 too. What do you see as you look at verse 28? It's a very familiar verse. We've quoted on many occasions, Matthew 11, 28. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I see four things in that verse. The first thing I see is the call: "Come unto me." That's an invitation by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's placed in the imperative mode. In effect, it is a command: come. Then do you notice in this precious invitation, not only the call, but also, do you notice the compass of this call? "Come unto me, all ye." That's a very precious compass. It encompasses or includes every man. It means that no one is excluded. The offer is made universally to every man, woman, and child. "Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely." No one is excluded. Anyone with an inkling of a desire in their heart to be properly related to God and experience the rest and the contentment and the joy and the satisfaction that only God can give, anyone with an inkling of a desire in their heart this morning to experience that may come. Come unto me, all ye. No one is excluded. There's a beautiful universalism in the offer. Now God expects you to respond. Come to Christ. Come unto me, Jesus said. He didn't say come to an institution. He didn't say come to a creed. He didn't say come to a system. He said come to me. I'm a living, pulsating, vibrant, dynamic Savior. And every person who places their faith in me, I will transform them. The call, come unto me. The compass of that call, all ye. Do you notice the condition of those who are invited? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those are powerful words. Labor means sheer exhaustion. Heavy laden means crushing burdens. Those are the kinds of things that are removed when a man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made the claim that the weary search for God and for truth ended in himself. He teaches us in this invitation that the way to know God is not by exhausting philosophical inquiry, such as the Sadducees engaged in, nor is it by burdensome religious activity, such as the Pharisees engaged in. The way to know God is not in that way, but by giving careful attention to Jesus Christ and by responding to his powerfully liberating invitation to come. I wonder how many of you have come. I remember the day so well when the Spirit of the living God spoke so clearly to my own heart and the invitation was graciously offered to me. Come unto me, Doug McLaughlin, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I came. He kept his promise, and he'll keep it for you as well. What's the consequence of it all? Do you see it in verse 28? We won't be able to go through the rest of that material there in this passage, but at least this facet of the rest we can touch on. Do you notice the consequence? He says, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all of you experiencing sheer exhaustion and crushing burdens apart from God, a proper union with God, and apart from his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, here's the consequence of it all. I will give you rest. You know what it means practically to experience this rest? It means that you will be set free, one, from crippling anxiety because you have a Father now. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be anxious and worrisome anymore. You have a Father. That's what it means to rest. He will set you free from crippling anxiety because you have a Father. He will set you free from frustration and futility because you have fulfillment. And he will set you free from a sin-laden conscience, a guilty spirit, because you have forgiveness. You are no longer an orphan. You have a Father. You are no longer empty. You are fulfilled. You are no longer guilty. You are forgiven. You can rest. You have contentment. You have peace. You have fulfillment. You have eternal destiny and temporal meaning and purpose because of what the Lord Jesus Christ does. That's rest. He maketh me to lie down. Jesus Christ tells us something about the provision of this rest, and he tells it to us in Matthew 11, verse 28. If we had the time to analyze it, he says there's also a rest not only of salvation but of service. Take my yoke upon you. And he says, my yoke is easy. You know what it means? Christos is the Greek word. It means well-fitting. That's one of the meanings of that ancient word, Christos, is well-fitting. It's suited to meet your needs. My yoke is easy. It's not designed to gall you. It's not designed to make your life burdensome and miserable. My yoke is easy. As you submit to my control, that's what the metaphor of the yoke speaks of. You submit to my control. You become my disciple. You become a disciplined one. As you submit to that yoke, it's a yoke which is specifically made for you. You know, in the ancient world, ox yokes were made by carpenters out of wood, and they were made to fit precisely the oxen. There is a legend, and it's only a legend. There is a legend that Jesus made the best ox yokes in all of Galilee, and that people from all over the country came to buy from him the best ox yokes that skill could make. And it's probably that metaphor which Jesus has in mind, his carpenter's occupation. It's probably that metaphor which Jesus has in mind when he uses this figure of speech here. Take my yoke upon you. And my yoke is suited to your needs and your abilities. I require nothing of you except that which I will supply for you. My life, subordination to my control as a Christian, as you become my servant, will not gall you. It will not burden you. It will liberate you. It will fulfill you. It will give you joy. And the deeper you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the more you listen to him and surrender to him and obey him and serve him, the greater will be your rest and your contentment. There is the rest of salvation and there is the rest of service. Now, could I give you an outline? I want you to learn something not only from Jesus Christ about the provision of rest, but I want you to learn something from the Oriental shepherd about the prohibitives to rest. There are certain things which can invade the environment of the sheep that will rob them of their peace and rest. And these are very literal things that the Palestinian shepherd had to deal with, but they have a very powerful spiritual parallel in our lives. You know what those three things are? There are three things that the shepherd had constantly to watch in order to ensure rest for the sheep. One was predators, and we face a predator, Satan. A fearful flock cannot rest. Two was pressures. A feuding, fighting flock cannot rest. And three was parasites, bugs. You ever been bugged? A frustrated flock cannot rest. One was predators. You know, wolves and lions and bears were the constant enemy of the Palestinian shepherd and the sheep. And even the sudden appearance of a straying jackrabbit can put a whole flock of sheep into disarray and move them into a stampede. And it was the ministry and function of a conscientious shepherd to do whatever was necessary to deliver his sheep from those kinds of fears. And do you know what quieted the fears of the sheep most of all? The strongest assurance to the sheep was their knowledge and experience of the shepherd's presence. If he was present, they weren't afraid. Nothing calms a flock of sheep like the presence of the shepherd. You know, the Christian faces a predator. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because you have an adversary. He's called the devil as a roaring lion. He's a predator. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. And you know, it's a very precious thought that our shepherd has made a perfect provision by which we can conquer the influence of Satan over our lives. When we get saved, we are delivered from the authority, from the power of Satan, and we are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are judicially and legally and positionally free of Satan's influence. He may try to invade our lives emotionally. He may try to invade our lives mentally. He may try to invade our lives morally. But there's no reason why any Christian need ever be the pawn of Satan. We have a shepherd who inhabits us, who is greater than he that is in the world.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.